James and his college friends were into a fast life of concerts, drugs, and more. Things changed dramatically, however, when James ended up on an organic farm in Italy, enjoying fresh mountain air and delicious homegrown food. But the biggest impact came when he met and fell in love with Jesus. Today, we're going to hear the full story of how this young man's life was changed forever, right here on Revival for a Mission. James used to read the Bible, but it didn't really click for him until he changed his diet and his lifestyle and he found himself in the mountains. Pastor Wilson, is it possible that some people that find it difficult to understand God's word just need a detox and they need to take care of their health first so that those truths become very clear to them?
Pastor Sam, it is absolutely vital that we understand that the brain and the body are linked in inextricable ways. What you eat definitely becomes who you are. It affects what you eat and drink, affects how your brain works, how things function, and absolutely affects the frontal lobes of your brain, which is where God can connect with you through impressions and the reading of the Holy Word and through prayer. So it's absolutely important for us to know that these elements, the physical and the spiritual, are connected. And in the case of James Hartley, who we will be interviewing, he is a prime example of how, when he was shocked, kind of, into a new lifestyle, that he truly was able to focus more, understand more, be calm as he read the Word of God, and it changed his life completely. Those of you who are watching, who maybe are not eating completely right, maybe you're not living the way you ought to, God intends for you to find true happiness and full health, physical and spiritual, as you look to Him. Listen to this beautiful music as it impresses your heart. Thank you.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Today we're talking to James Hartley, who has a very interesting story. James, welcome to Revival for Mission.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be with you. Appreciate that.
I'm fascinated by your story. You grew up as a good Catholic kid in Wisconsin, and then you went off on concerts and ended up in a organic farm in Italy where you met Present Truth. Now, this is it goes everywhere. So let's start from the beginning. What was it like? How did you get to the farm in through your upbringing?
Sure. Well, thanks. Well, I don't know how good of a Catholic boy I was. I caused a bit of trouble for them, but my parents were faithful Catholics. They put me through 12 years of Catholic schools. When I finished high school, I went off to college. So I didn't have a lot of clear direction about, you know, what I wanted to do with my life. And so, yeah, I started getting into all sorts of things, searching for truth, really. But I got into hanging out with hippie crowds. I got into psychedelics. I took time off from college, and I toured around the U.S., traveling, following these kind of psychedelic jam bands around, hanging out with all kinds of hippies, and getting into spiritualism and a lot of New Age kind of Eastern philosophies. Anyway, one of my buddies that I was hanging out with, he went off to Europe to follow this band around and travel around Europe, and it was there that he went to a vegetarian restaurant in Basel, Switzerland. It was called Country Life, and there was actually a network of Country Life restaurants throughout Europe, in London and Paris and there in Switzerland. And so that's actually the first contact point that any of us had with Seventh-day Adventists. And, you know, it was probably better that my friend was there because he was into health food. I really wasn't. Ironically, my father was a butcher and I used to be a sausage maker growing up. My dad owned his own butcher shop there up in Wisconsin. And so now, well, he's a Catholic, Roman Catholic butcher, and I'm a vegetarian Seventh-day Adventist. So we're a little bit different, but still very close. But the transition was a little bit challenging for my parents. But anyway, back to the story. There was a Spanish missionary there in Switzerland working in the kitchen. His name was Jose, and he witnessed to my friend. In fact, that day he was praying for someone to witness to. And when my buddy came in the door, he knew. He says, "This is the one I got to witness to," because he could tell he was a hippie, and Jose used to be a hippie in the 70s. And so he went right for my friend and sat down, had lunch with him, and witnessed to him. They got talking about country living, organic agriculture, Christianity, and a lot of topics. My friend was very interested. Jose told him of a farm in Italy that was organic, and it was a great place, beautiful, and he should go and visit. So my friend went to visit that farm and had a great experience there. They were Seventh-day Adventists running this farm up in the mountains of Italy, a beautiful landscape, just a fantastic farm, really great people. And well, that was my buddy that was there. He come back to Wisconsin, and you know, I was in my buddy's apartment playing video games and smoking pot with no direction whatsoever. In comes my friend. He used to have these long, like, dreadlocks. He comes in with his hair cut off. He's holding a King James Bible in my hand, and I could not believe it. Of all people, it was the wrong guy. You know, I was speechless. I'm still speechless about it. But so I asked him what happened, and he told me about this farm. You know, something just really attracted me about it. So, you know, he asked all of our friends if we wanted to go back, and I was the only one interested to go. I was reading books about, you know, Buddhism and living this kind of simplistic lifestyle in the country, living off the land. And I was kind of open-minded. He told me there were Christians, but I didn't know what to think of that. I wasn't really interested in Christianity at the time, but I went anyway, and I met the people there, and just fell in love with them and the place on the farm. So yeah, God just kind of worked amazing ways to get me in touch with some Italian Seventh-day Adventists. I've never heard of the church. I didn't even know what church they were a part of. They kept saying it in Italian. I didn't even know what it was. My buddy translated to me in English, Seventh-day Adventist. I said, "Oh, seven-day, what? What is a Seventh-day Adventist? I never heard of that before." And so I didn't have any idea what I was getting myself involved with. But, you know, the Lord was working on me little by little, you know, and I had a great experience on this farm.
Now, James, this is fascinating. I mean, here's God taking a young man who is drifting from Wisconsin to Italy to a farm. Now, you referenced how great it was on the farm. Can you just explain a little bit more to our viewing audience? What was life like on a farm run by Seventh-day Adventists in Italy, in the mountains? It was a beautiful place, you said, but what happened there? Why was it so impacting on your life?
Well, it was very peaceful. I was way out in the country, a beautiful landscape, so it was very quiet. I didn't have all those kind of negative influences around me like in the city back home. And so the environment naturally was very good. I was working on the farm. I was getting, you know, a lot of exercise. I was kind of a lifestyle guest in a sense, though I didn't realize it. I didn't take any drugs with me. I wasn't smoking. I wasn't drinking. I started to feel better. And I'm telling you, the food at this place was amazing. They were growing almost all their own food from scratch. This Italian mother was rolling her own pasta, making her own fresh sauces. They had tons of fruit. I mean, on the property. They were pressing their own olives for olive oil, growing their own wheat for their own homemade bread. I mean, it was really off the charts, the food. That was the first time I ever ate vegetarian food. And I'm telling you, it was the best I could have possibly had. The food was just outstanding. So it opened up my mind to vegetarian diet real quick.
I want to digress.
Let me digress
for a minute, because I want our viewers to understand this basic principle. If you eat simply and healthfully, something actually changes in your mind as well, because the old saying is really true, you are what you eat. And you can verify that, can't you? I mean, this is why physical health and mental ability is so connected. Any thoughts on that, and then continue? I kind of interrupted.
Oh, no, absolutely. And thank you though, Pastor. I remember trying to read the Bible in my former days when I was drinking or smoking pot or something. I never got anything from it. But now on this farm, without any of those things in my life, eating like the best I possibly eat, exercising out in the fresh air, I started to be very impressed spiritually. My mind was clear. My heart was open. Every morning before we started work, they would have worship and they would read through the Gospels and talk about the life of Christ. And I just had never heard of the life of Christ explained in such a way. It was so amazing, so beautiful. I was attracted to Christ through that. So they bought me a Bible. They went down to the town and bought me an English Bible. I started reading it, and God spoke to my heart. And it was while hiking up in this mountain, all alone, just reading through the Gospel to the Romans, or Paul's letter to the Romans, I remember that I just felt this deep impression that the Bible was written by God. Felt like I finally understood what the Gospel was about. And I just gave my heart to God right there on the mountain.
James, that is so beautiful.
Praise God.
And many people have these experiences where they clean their minds from whatever it is that they're doing. They have an encounter with the written word of God. And what follows is an encounter with the living word of God, Jesus. And
that's right.
It's so beautiful to watch and to listen to you tell that story. When you came back from Italy, you ended up on another farm in Tennessee, and your connection with Jesus grew as you read this particular book. Tell us about that part of the journey.
It was not an easy transition back home. You know, my family and my friends were all pretty opposed to what me and my other buddy had gotten ourselves into. And my one friend there that I was with in Italy, he had left town to somewhere else. So I was all alone. And to be honest, I struggled with my experience. I was kind of wavering and drifting and backsliding, I guess, in a way. I kind of was losing my experience. And thankfully, after about a year, there was a long year of a lot of different experiences, my buddy came back around and he invited me down to Tennessee to an Adventist farm that Jose was at. The same man that was a chef in Basel, Switzerland, was now a farm manager at a Seventh-day Adventist institution down in Tennessee. And I had never met Jose myself, but I thought I'd check it out because I knew I wasn't doing very well spiritually and I wanted to be. And so I left town. I told my dad, I don't want to be a butcher. You know, you're going to have to sell this butcher shop. I'm going to go down to Tennessee and farm. He was a little taken back by that, but he always let me make my own decisions. So I came down to Tennessee. I met Jose. I started working on the farm. I started eating good again and living a good lifestyle. And sooner or later, boom, I was back praying. I was back reading my Bible. and I got an encounter with a book called The Great Controversy. And I thought, I need to really check these Seventh-day Adventists out. And that seems like the most, you know, meaty book. So I thought I would read The Great Controversy and see if I agreed with it. And I'm telling you, that book changed my life. It blew my mind away because I was raised a Catholic and I had never even studied the Reformation. I didn't know what it was about. To read all of that and to read all the prophecies and everything, I mean, it was just mind blowing. And so it was that year that I, after about 9 months on that farm, that I decided to give my life to the Lord. And that was a decision for life. I told him I would serve as a missionary for the rest of my life, that there would be nothing else more important to live for. And so that decision I'm sticking with to this day by God's grace. But it was not easy for my family, that's for sure.
Yeah, tell us, how did your family react to this? I mean, this must have been earth-changing, you know, life-changing.
Yeah, it was when I called them in Italy, and when I was in Italy and telling them my experience, and it was not received well. They thought I was with a cult. I was getting, you know, four-letter word curses thrown at me. And when I got back home, something similar. And now when I was in Tennessee, I told them I wanted to be baptized. They were really upset about it. My mom was crying. My sister was kind of cursing me out. You know, you sound like an evangelist. We don't want to hear any of this. My dad was telling me, don't give it to us. We don't want any of it. You know, keep your mouth quiet about all of this. They didn't want to hear it. So they were kind of aggressive, shocked, sad, all of those emotions. So I told them I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to join the Adventist Church. I'm going to become a missionary. Not easy, you can imagine. I mean, they are very traditional Irish Catholics. That was a hard pill to swallow. But they made me make one promise. They said, you got to come back home and meet with a priest. Have an interview with the priest before you make this decision. And I said, look, I don't want to do that. It's not going to turn out well. We better just skip that, Mom. She said, please, honey, one last request. You do this for me. So I said, okay. So I come back up to, I fly back up to Wisconsin. I go to this leading priest. He was actually a Monsignor, which is like a step below a bishop, a leading Catholic in the area. He's a teacher in the Catholic university there. And I go into this office, big fancy office, wood carved desk. And he looks very serious. He sits me down. He said, Jimmy, he called me Jimmy. He knew me since I was a kid. And I used to bus tables at a country club he used to play golf at. And I used to, I knew him pretty well. He said, Jimmy, what are you doing? Your mother tells me you're studying with Seventh-day Adventists. Don't you know that? Who's William Miller? He's a false prophet. You're following a false movement. And he starts throwing all this information to me. And look, thankfully, I had been studying a lot of that. So I gave him clear Bible answers. He starts questioning a lot of doctrine. I just keep giving him Bible verses. He's got really frustrated with me. Started getting upset. Tells me I'm gonna go to hell for what I'm doing. I need to get out of it. And I said, well, I wasn't interested. I'm interested only in the Bible. He said, well, you know, the Bible is just one of the words of God. The Pope is the words are the word of God on doctrinal matters and church traditions. Don't you believe in church traditions? And I said, look, I don't. It's got to come in harmony with the word of God. That's where my experience is. That's where I'm gaining my experience. And I'm standing on the word of God. So how am I going to go to hell and burn in hell for following the Bible? Please explain that to me. And so he tried to then change the discussion from like intimidating me to now he starts trying to like induce me to rejoin the church. And he starts telling me that, you know, there's the school that's really hard to get into and he can get me in there. It's a Jesuit school. And he thinks I should go there and get educated. And as soon as he said Jesuit, I had just read The Great Controversy. My eyes about popped out of its sockets. I was shocked at it, that what he was trying to do here. Why would I want to become a Jesuit? I'm a Protestant now. I'm believing only in the Bible. He said, hey, Jim, this school is very hard to get into and it is very expensive. And I'm telling you, I'm going to pay all 4 years of your college. And I think you should go on and you should, you know, become a Jesuit. And I said, well, I was kind of shocked. I just said, look, Pastor, I appreciate the offer, but there's no way I'm interested in that. I think I better be on my way. So I gave him a book from Samuel Bakayoko's From Sabbath to Sunday, because we had debated a little bit about the Sabbath. And he, in fact, read that entire book. And we had met some years after that. But anyway, I ended up coming back down south to Tennessee and was baptized and joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And became a missionary until today.
How's the relationship with your family, James?
Yeah, well, it has improved, you know, gradually over the years. It took about three years of awkwardness and maybe 5 years. But I tell you, the biggest change is when I got married. I got married to just a wonderful, wonderful woman that I met at Wildwood. She's from Brazil, and my parents just fell in love with her. And now we have two daughters, a 2- and a 4-year-old. And I mean, our relationship is far better than it ever was. In fact, they bought a house down south, so now they spend half the year down south. They'll come to church with us. You know, they eat with us. They're still firm in their Catholicism, but they keep asking little by little. I keep giving little bits of light, and you know, I'm just praying for them that it seems like it would take a miracle, but our relationship is great now.
Well, it took a miracle for you. If you are watching this program at home and you heard James's story and how the Bible made such a difference in his life, just go to revivalformission.tv. You would find Bible studies there that you could have that experience. And perhaps if you want to dig deeper, the book, The Great Controversy, has changed the lives of millions of people as it shines a special light on scripture and history. And if you want to have that experience too, revivalformission.tv, we will give you the book for free, and you can have that experience right there. You can download it immediately for free. We're going on a break now, but when James comes back, we're going to ask him about light ministry. You would have noticed his shirt says light. That's a special ministry that you can benefit from. It's also making a difference in people's lives. You're watching Revival for Mission. We're going on a break, but don't go away.
My brother's unexpected death shocked me into changing my life. A friend of mine said, "Why don't you do a triathlon?" So I swam and rode and ran until I discovered life is more than just human strength. I race because my health matters. I believe because my faith matters. I'm Ed. I'm a Christian. I am an Ironman. And I've discovered my whole life matters.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. We have just heard the incredible story of how God called James through a great, weird path to follow him. And he is now the director of Light Ministry. James, what is Light Ministry and how can people benefit from it?
So Light is an acronym that stands for the Lay Institute for Global Health Training. As you heard from my story, the health message was a large part of how I came into the church. And so I felt like God had led me to give my my life to helping in this way. So I've been involved in using the health message as the right arm of the gospel. I worked at Wildwood Lifestyle Center as their director of education for about 7 years after being baptized into the church. I was, in fact, baptized at Wildwood because the farm was near here. And in 2008, I was asked to be the first leader for Light Ministry. It was an idea. It was a strategy that was dreamed up out of the office of OCI, Outpost Centers International. And they called me and asked me to be the leader for it, given, I guess, my experience in education, missionary training, and the right arm of the gospel. So Light's purpose is to make sure that every Seventh-day Adventist around the world has access to health evangelism training in their country and in their language. I was really motivated for this because I was working at Wildwood, their mission school, and I realized we could only train just a few dozen people per year, and that we needed to start more schools internationally. And I just noticed around the world there were very few lay schools and lay mission schools, and you know, a lot of lay people I knew were just going to 4-year theology schools just to learn how to do some missionary work, but that training's more geared for pastoral ministries and not necessarily just lay ministries. And so short, easier to take lay mission programs is what we've been working on. So Light has two levels of curriculum. We have a short 1-month curriculum that you can take in a month. It's 125 hours. It covers the right arm of the gospel, the Adventist health message, how to bring it to the community, how to reach souls with the three indos message. And then we also have a longer curriculum that's 6 months long that we train leaders for. And so we have 40 schools now around the world that are teaching the 6-month curriculum. And those 1-month schools, we've done them over 90 countries. And to the past 12 years now, we have trained over 30,000 Seventh-day Adventist church members and pastors on how to use the right arm of the gospel effectively in their communities through establishing health clubs and promoting them with health expos, doing community cooking classes and the health education classes, getting involved in the communities, making friends for Jesus, getting close to people, and using that right arm of the gospel as an entering wedge. We're also very active here in the U.S., so we have teams that travel and do church trainings that could be shorter, just over a weekend or a one-week intensive. And so if you're at home at a church and you'd like to get your church more revived in evangelism and using the right arm locally in your community, call us. One of our teams will come out. We'll help train the church, give the resources necessary to do that sort of thing. Another thing that we're doing through the pandemic here is using online training. So we have our curriculum translated in 15 languages, and we have in six languages, we have it in as an online training. So English, Spanish, Portuguese, Korean, Chinese, and Russian. You can get our whole training online. And so we have groups around the world that are watching and training online, and they're getting ready. So as soon as doors open up, that, you know, now more than ever, the health message can be used to as an entering wedge. There's a huge health awareness now with this pandemic. And so we're teaching simple things, how to boost the immune system, how to help treat simple viral infections and bacterial infections, and how to prevent lifestyle degenerative diseases and reverse those diseases through lifestyle intervention. And so you could go to our website at lightingtheworld.org, where you could invite a team to your church. You could see where one of our 40 schools are around the world, or you could look online and start taking classes today by registering as an online student.
Thank you so much, James, for being with us. What a privilege to hear about how God changed your life by focusing on physical health, which changed your mental health and your spiritual aspects. You know, God wants every one of you who are viewing the telecast today to understand that there is this relationship between the mind and the body. In 3 John verse 2, there's only one chapter there, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." God wants you to be vibrant physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. God bless each one of you, and we'll see you again on Revival for Mission.